This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with We Are West Ham, James Jones, and the delightful Tom Edwards. What a pleasure it is to have Tom in the studio. No Will Pugh tonight, but the boys are still flying the flag high. They need to, because it is a terrible run West Ham face themselves on. No win in six now. And what started so brightly this Premier League campaign, obviously, bar the opening day debacle to Man City, it has been a brilliant start for them. Then what has happened? The wheels have truly fallen off. I know the boys are ready to have a rant about that one. The first headline they want to talk about, it's becoming embarrassing. So they say, we're going to be talking about that defeat, another one. Then a little bit about the goalkeeper, the manager, he's come under big questions. And is there now, it seems he may have received the dreaded vote of confidence, which your manager never wants. We're going to be talking all about that. And coming up, it will be the West Ham Mystery Player Quiz, which is now apparently called the Rogue Players Quiz. I've been away for 1 week. It's all changed. It feels new. I feel a little bit scared. Let's talk about the Burnley game, though, because that performance, Tom, that was scary, weren't it?
Honestly, it was terrifying to see how bad we were, because from start to finish, we were second best, as Declan Rice said. We got bullied all over the park. But I think that's actually, putting it simple, we weren't just bullied, we actually played off the park by a poor Burnley team. Not poor necessarily, but not, I don't know, they're not a team that we should go to a place like that and actually be second best in every aspect. And sadly, we were from start to finish second best, created next to nothing until we went 3-0 down, and Cresswell had a shot we could have done a bit better with. We had nothing all game, and we were second best. Not, it wasn't just the goalie was put in a joke of a performance, but it wasn't just him, to be honest, and every player on that pitch needs to look at themselves in the mirror and get it right for when we come back.
Strong words. Take a look in the mirror, a little reflection. Man in the mirror, ask themselves, what is going wrong? Declan Rice bullied all over the pitch. James, I want to get your opinion on it, and I have to ask your opinion, what you thought of the game, because obviously this is the West Ham Fan Show. Just before we went on, seeing Tom, I said, Tom, that was a terrible performance. Am I allowed to say that? Does that feel harsh? And he said, mate, it was terrible. We need to go more. That, you know, it was that bad, James.
No,
yeah. No, it's embarrassing. I think Tom's right in exactly what you said. You know, a lot of those players have got to take a long, hard look in the mirror. You know, Tom and I were speaking earlier, and Tom reminded me that our front three are worth £100 million, and I think they've got what, 7 goals between them.
Six, I think, in the season. Yeah.
Right, that's unacceptable for a football club that has supposedly gone to the next level with this stadium move. You know, brought in a Premier League winning manager in Pellegrini, brought in a director of football in Houssalos, spent £200 million over the last two summers, and then to have a front line that can only deliver 6 goals in 13 games between them, and you don't win in 7 games, you lose 4-0 to Oxford, you lose 3-0 away to Burnley, you're 3-0 down at home to Newcastle, you can't beat Sheffield United, you can't beat Crystal Palace. It's a disgrace. It's terrible. And now I've changed my tune, because 2 weeks ago, I was like, nah, Pellegrini in. But
Pellegrini,
I'll tell you what now.
Power play.
Tell you what, Pellegrini out, because it's got really... This is not good.
Is that serious?
It's not good enough. It's not good.
It's not good enough.
And we're going to cover the manager so much later, and I don't really want to get into it now, but... You Pellegrini out for you. Six games, this stretch of run.
This stretch of run.
Was a brilliant start.
We will touch on it in a little bit more detail a little bit later on when, you know, we get onto that segment.
Yeah.
But I know 2 weeks ago I had a big rant against West Ham fans that were calling for his head, saying, no, it's not good enough.
I'm glad you've held out, mate.
And 2 weeks later I'm like, no, do you know what, boys, I'm with you. You know, I've joined it because I can't see where we go from here. You know, you go to Burnley off the back of a really... We beat Man United, 6 weeks ago? Mm. And everyone went, look at the fixtures we've got after this. Look at the fixtures. They're winnable fixtures. We ain't playing any top six clubs. If we carry on the way we're going now, we could be in the top four by Christmas and everyone would be laughing. Finally, we are. And we said it on this show. This is looking nice. Mm. We've not won since.
You haven't won since. It's been that bad. What do you think, though, as well at home? We want you to get involved tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Call us 0208 7020 558. You can also WhatsApp on the same number. The Pellegrini in or out in that camp. Where do you stand? And we've already had tweets into the studio. This one, again, it's about the manager. It is a big topic. The debate rages on. This one from Adam. Thank you for your tweet, Adam, saying Pellegrini has to go. You gave Big Sam a long-term deal on the same budget that Pellegrini was getting. Entertaining football? No. It's all about winning games. Now, let's talk about the game, because I know, Tom, there's so much to talk about the manager, and I think that will lead us on to it. But 3-0, it almost flattered West Ham, because, you know, we know the keeper, he had his moments, but the Chris Wood offside, you know, there's that one. They hit the woodwork. They had chances, you know. It was that bad. And I don't even want to use the phrase, and I probably already have, but West Ham, it wasn't that they weren't at the races or bad day at the office. This was terrible. The fall off the cliff, Tom, has been that drastic.
It's been huge, and I think you said to me last week, how do you think we'll do well in the Burnley game? And I said no, because I don't think... The performance against Newcastle was impossible to turn around in such a short space of time. We were that bad against Newcastle, followed by being that bad against Burnley. Now, I think that's why people are on the management, not bringing him up right now, but that is why, because it's a consistently underperforming squad, which you've got to now start looking at and say it is pretty worrying. We were saying earlier, actually, me and James, that we aren't plagued by injuries. Usually when we go through this stage of the season, we have a bad run of fixtures, we look around West Ham squad and you say, oh, you're missing your four best players. No, we ain't. We're in a very good... Our squad's actually fit for once, other than Jack Wilshere, but he's never been in around it since he's joined. So he got the squad's there that he could pick from. He's got his players to choose from, yet we're still turfing out week in, week out, being second best against teams. So you would say at the start of the season, he shouldn't be anywhere near us in the league. Mm. And we're in this position now where a result against Tottenham is a must, or we've got to start changing something. There's got to be a catalyst for change right now, and we're struggling to see what it's going to be, because no one's coming back from injury or anything like that. It's got to be within that dressing room. Someone's got to take it by the horns and turn it around.
Yeah, that first game against Tottenham, you know, the international break may be coming at the right time. We'll cover that as well. But James, sometimes when you're losing, you know, you're unlucky in defeat. You know, you've played well, you lose, and sometimes these things happen. But at the minute, the performances are that bad, they're that worrying. Where's the light at the end of the tunnel? Where is the spark that's going to ignite this team back into life?
Well, we were discussing this earlier, weren't we? Mm. And, I mean, it's not on the running order.
Can you two not get together and save all your goals for when I'm here? I feel like I'm missing out.
Well, no, we're just planning.
Yeah, know? Okay.
It's all about planning.
Consummate professional.
Yeah, where was the location of that planning?
Yeah. no comment. We discussed that we're in a stage now where a lot of the first-team players, they either don't care, and we've seen that over the last 6 or 7 weeks. If they cared, you know, they'd have put in better performances. I genuinely believe that. Or if they did care, then they don't have any belief in Pellegrini. We'll get onto that. But there are a number of young players chomping at the bit in that youth team or out on loan that I reckon could come in and give a far better account of themselves than the likes of Anderson has done over the last few weeks. Far better account of themselves as the likes of, I don't know, any other players.
Any of the players.
I mean, Roberto in goal, and we'll get onto him. I mean, in his mid-30s, what you shouldn't be making mistakes in your mid-30s like that. And we've got a young goalkeeper out on loan called Nathan Trott. Bring him back. Bring him back. Mm. No? Get him in. Dean Garner out on loan. Pellegrini's already said no, he'll come back in the summer. No, bring him back now. Because he's doing the job in the Championship. He deserves a chance in the Premier League. He had a good season last year. There are so many youngsters to come in. I don't see this current squad changing unless something drastic happens. And I think a drastic move from Pellegrini and the management would be to start giving the young players a try.
Yeah, but is that a little bit over the top, James, being drastic and writing them players off? You can't
go. The reason why is that there's no squad depth. There's absolutely no squad depth. So these players are guaranteed to start every week, give or take one or two that might start on the bench and then come on for half hour in the second half. There's no squad depth. There's no one snapping at the heels of the likes of Anderson. There's no one snapping at the heels of Haller. Not even a Yeti snapping at the heels of Haller. There's nothing going. So these players know that they're going to rock up every single week. They're going to start the game and it's going to be lovely jubbly.
But that's a scary thought, though, isn't it? A Yeti snapping at your heels up those snowy mountains.
I mean, yeah, tell me about it. Yeah, but that's not even happening. And I just there's a lot of players that in that squad that clearly are too comfortable. They know they're starting every week because there's no one behind them good enough or hungry enough to take their place in that starting lineup. But if Pellegrini starts bringing in some of these youngsters and going, "You know what, you've earned your shot. Go and have a go," then I reckon things will change very, very quickly.
But James, how have we got to a point where, you know, 12 games in, you know, we're saying that let's do the drastic, let's bring in the youth, they're having good seasons, you know, players that want it, you know, give the youth a chance because, you know, the last few weeks what I've seen of Anderson and co, it's not doing it. 12 games ago, we're saying strongest team, West Ham, their first 11 we've ever seen in the Premier League. And already 12 games in, we want to write it off. And after one sticky patch, see, one roller coaster of bad form, Let's get the kids in.
This isn't a rollercoaster bad form though, Charlie. This is a number of results and performances that are genuinely unacceptable. A string of 6 or 7 weeks of just unacceptable football 100%. from a team that should be doing better and have been doing better this season and last season. For some reason, something's changed, and you can't put it down to just Fabianski being injured.
Well, what I will say to that as well, what James is saying is we haven't done this over a standard period of Premier League fixtures when you get the Arsenal away, thrown in with three easy home fixtures.
Look at the teams you're playing.
We've played some poor, poor teams. It's the reason why it's such a drastic change of voice is because we've had probably the teams who are going to be around us or worse off than us this season, at the start of the season, you would have said, and we've looked abject and second best against teams like that. And I don't think we're changing our tune on the first 11. First 11 is incredibly strong, but they are underperforming. We're not saying Anderson's a bad player because he's not. We're saying he's catastrophically underperforming right now, along with players like Rice. I'm not going to leave him out of it. He's been poor since he got back from Czech Republic game. And I understand there's a lot which comes with playing for England and the pressure. And now he's been slagged off in the media after his display in that game. But at the end of the day, they're good, good players. And that's what's so frustrating. They're poor. And we're trying to work out a way in which these players can actually find the next level again and raise the gears, because right now, there is no competition. Rice will play every week. The midfield, Noble will play every week. Mm. The front three will play every week. Maybe they'll get dropped for 4 hours 1 week, but they know he's not going to turn up because he's not playing well when he gets his chances. So there is very little competition for these guys to go out there and say, it's got to be in the top of my game because I've got someone coming through. When we looked at the stats just now, Anthony Scully, youngster, I'm not saying he's ready for first team football. He's probably not, but he's played 9 games in the 21s league this year, scored 10 goals, 4 assists. And then you've got Nathan Holland, who's a winger. And he's played 10 games, 8 goals, 4 assists. And you must be a few of those two. You're thinking, what more do I have to do to get in a team who's underperforming this badly? And I think it works both ways. We need them to come in to push the other players to be better. We don't think they're bad players. They just need to be playing better. And we've got to find a way to get the best out of them.
No, I think I wasn't disagreeing with James earlier, but it's hard when you've got, you know, you've spent a lot of money, Pellegrini has, you know, this was a team that was going to take them forward. Can't necessarily, they will have highs and lows. Obviously, what they've been playing like the last few weeks has obviously been nothing that Hammers fans want to see. But the squad depth is a big, big concern, isn't it?
It is a concern, and it's always been a concern. Even when we were playing well, it was like, you know, we were 1 or 2 injuries away from being ruined. And then Fabianski gets injured, and then, you know, then we're in trouble a little bit. And, you know, I just believe that on paper our squad is very, very good, but the squad depth is a problem. And after that Man United win, everyone was on a high again. Look at the fixtures we got now. Yeah, we've got Bournemouth coming up, we've got Palace coming up, we've got, you know, Newcastle coming up. We're going to be top four at Christmas. It's going to be brilliant. This is what we were promised. I said it, Will said it, Tom said it, everyone's gone, this is brilliant. Like, finally, we can put a run of results together. And after beating Man United at home, we've not won since. We've been battered by Oxford. We've been beaten by Palace. We've been beaten by Newcastle. Beaten by Burnley. We only just scraped a draw against Sheffield United. It's not good enough. And something's got to change. I mean, I think I've already made my thoughts clear on that. But the squad depth is a problem. And the fact that we've spent so much money over the last 2 summers and squad depth is still a problem, it is not good enough.
Well, spent a lot of money. That's why maybe there are growing calls for Pellegrini to go, because he has spent the money. They've backed him to the hilt. That's a big debate there. We're going to be talking about the manager, but we're going to be focusing on the goalkeeper next. You know, they want to get rid of some players. They can't get rid of him because who is up next? And Fabianski is out.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with We Are West Ham, James Jones and Tom Edwards. Well, they've had their rants. I've joined in a little bit. It was a passionate debate talking about the team on the weekend. That disappointing, frustrating 3-0 defeat to Burnley. Declan Rice saying bullied all over the pitch. Not good enough for them. He said they have to take a good look at themselves, as did Tom Edwards. Well, they better be, because it is the international break now. Perfect time for it in West Ham's case, and what a brilliant time. We're going to be talking a little bit more about it next week, but you play Spurs, form goes out the window. It's an absolute leveller. It is Spurs. They can't buy a win away from home. You think, thankfully, we're at home. It's Spurs. We're going to beat them. I was going to say something else then. Yeah. I didn't. Perfectly stopped. Thankfully, it is Spurs. They can't buy a win away from home. But the flip of the coin is that we don't want them to get their first away win, you know, at West Ham, do we? Because we're going to have to hear about it for what will seem an eternity, James.
Yeah, for the many years I supported West Ham, and when a team comes
lifetimes.
To lifetimes, it feels like lifetimes. When a team comes to West Ham with a stat like that, or with a player that hasn't scored in 50, or
you said this didn't you earlier,
yeah, yeah. Truth.
And or with a really obscure stat that's been standing for 400 years. And suddenly, like, they rock up at West Ham, you know it's going to be broken. You know that striker's going to score his first goal in, you know, since he was born. You know Tottenham are going to get their first away win since bloody 1950. It's going to happen, and we know it's going to happen. Everyone knows it's going to happen. Tottenham fans don't believe it's going to happen, but I'm already resigned to the fact that Tottenham are going to rock up and they're going to win, and it's going to be really, really annoying, because it shouldn't be like this.
I think Spurs, though, Tom, can we put a positive spin on it? Spurs, I think it's the perfect time to play them. They don't look good.
I mean, like you just said, that's the struggle.
I have to try, though, don't I?
What I will say is, of course Spurs are in bad form, but so are we. And they'll, as much as we'll look at it,
we have to remember, this is Spurs, guys.
Yeah, we're good.
They're rubbish.
Yeah, they're rubbish, because we're even worse. But I think you've got to look at it as in, yeah, we're both two teams in bad form. And I think they'll be looking at it and go, oh, well, at least the one team we want to play is either Norwich or West Ham, and we've got one of them, so happy days. But I think what you were right is, the one thing I will say is Tottenham game's different to any other game. It is, you know, Noble, if he's fit, he's going to come out there and give 100 out of 10.
Form goes out the window,
yeah,
don't it, in
exactly,
these games?
Exactly, that's the thing. And you've got to hope we come out and we're intense and we actually drive at players and we go after and we play an intense brand of football like we did when we put United to the sword and things like that, rather than be laboured and as if they don't want to be there and they'd rather be at home with their missus. That we've got to go after them and realise how big a game it is. That's my big hope, is that there'll be just a change of mentality and everyone will be that 10% more in the game. And we've got a massive chance then if we do that. But like James said, when a stat like this crops up, you know the one team with a good chance of breaking it is West Ham. Come to our place and win.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting how you talked about West Ham, but you managed to bring Will Pugh in there saying they want to spend time with their missus. That's why they can't do the show tonight on Love Sport Radio. James, let's quickly talk about Roberto, though, because I'm not a fan of the style of let's punch it out for a keeper rather than catch it.
I don't think anyone is. I didn't see the game on Saturday because I was too busy building IKEA furniture, as you do. But I was seeing the results come in. And the goals come in, and I wasn't surprised to see Chris Wood score. And I was like, oh yeah, of course he has. And then I saw the
Barnes, who ain't scored in 10 games, another one for course, the stats there.
Exactly,
yeah. I mean, I didn't realise he was still playing football. I thought he'd retired.
He'd come back for this one
exactly,
game.
He knew he'd get a goal. But yeah, and then, you know, I watched Match of the Day. I saw the Roberto own goal come through on my phone. And I thought, oh, here we go. Yeah, this can be fun, isn't it? How bad could that possibly be? I watched Match of the Day the following morning, and yeah, it was as bad as I thought it was.
You didn't even watch Match of the Day in the evening. Is that how much IKEA took it out of you?
Was
it the West Ham defeat?
I was gone.
He had to watch it in the morning, Tom.
No, I was honestly gone. Don't blame him.
Mate. Yeah, I was out a lot of light. But yeah, no, it's just got a little bit. In the first half, he made a punch when he could have caught it from the highlight reel, and I just thought, why has he punched that?
Yeah.
What's the point of punching that? There's no need for you to punch that. You can catch that
straight back out into danger.
Straight back out into danger, and then obviously he's tried to punch it, but he's hit his knuckle and gone behind him. I mean, you can do that ever again, like without
ever. Ever.
Like, it just wouldn't happen again. But it just happened, and I just don't know why we've signed him. Like, he's what 30. well, 45 or 50. I don't know how old he is, but yeah. He's old. And I just feel like we've just brought him in. What's worrying is the reports are saying that he was their number one choice 2 years ago or a year ago. Yeah. And but we ended up with Fabianski. I mean, oh God, how bad's our luck? Yeah. We brought him in, but the problem is everyone's blaming him. Someone sent me a regular listener, Dylan Dench, DM'd me earlier and sent me a few stats on West Ham's defence. So a lot of sticks being thrown at Roberto, and I'm not going to defend him. Because he's terrible. There's no defending him. But it doesn't help when your defence aren't helping you out. And there's a couple of screenshots from some stories. So Burnley averaged 4.1 shots on target per game this season before playing West Ham. They're 12 against us, which means that we've had more. We've given away more shots. Newcastle, who initially averaged 3.4, had 9 against us at London Stadium last weekend. So the defence aren't doing the work. The defence aren't protecting the goalkeeper.
But are the midfield protecting the defence?
Well, I mean, that's
it's intriguing. It's the whole lot.
But the fact is that everyone's, you know, sending arrows at Roberto, and rightly so in some cases. But more, you know, it's not just Roberto.
Because he did actually make a couple of good saves, didn't he, towards the end? So you know,
I think we're all forgetting. It's almost we're looking at this bloke as if he's won a game to play in the Premier League. He's a goalie. He should be making saves. That's his bread and butter. He's made two mistakes at the weekend, which honestly, they're unforgivable mistakes. That throw to Balbuena, don't get me wrong, Balbuena's a Premier League footballer, he's got to take that down and I'm
that
clear
was terrible
it.
Control, Tom.
Terrible control, but you've got three players around him, you're 1-0 down away from home, you're still very much in the game. You see the other centre half is pushed up the pitch and you decide to throw it to a bloke with 3-on-1. Interesting choice for a 30-year-old experienced keeper. And then decision to punch it. I mean, I'm agree with James, it's the whole squad. And maybe, but I think we can't look past the fact that potentially it's Roberto's presence which is transcending through the whole squad and giving complete lack of confidence in defending and just going deeper and deeper and deeper and letting teams unload on us. But it's a problem we need to sort out. But it's one of those where it is, like you said, there's nothing we can do. We either go for Millwall's second choice, who is a West Ham fan and his old man obviously played and stuff and he's got history with the club, so maybe get him in, or we stick with this guy who seems to have soap on his gloves. So we just go from here, and it's we just got to work out and defend. Everyone has to be 10% better for him to be safe.
Just to expand on that initial stat that I said, it gets even worse.
Surely not.
It does. Since beating Manchester United at home, which was what six weeks ago. West Ham have allowed their opponents to have 44 shots on target. That's 6 more than any other team in the division and at least double the figure of 6 Premier League teams. Most worrying is the list of West Ham opponents over that run. Bournemouth, Palace, Everton, Sheffield United, Newcastle and Burnley. And only one of those finished above West Ham last season. And what's more, West Ham spent more than all of them on players last summer.
All of them as in put together? No.
No.
As in, like, it's just all of it, like separately. Yeah. The highest.
That shows how. It would have been, wouldn't it? That shows how poor we've been.
Yeah.
And that just proves that it's not just Roberto. Mm. It's a team effort. But Roberto is in the firing line because, you know, making two horrid mistakes like that has really, you know, let the team down. Because at 1-0, you still got a chance to get in it. But 3-0, you're ruined.
Listen, we can't forgive the mistakes and the mistakes happen. You know, we don't excuse the mistakes. But were the team in it? You say they was in it at 1-0, not on that performance, because they weren't in it. And I don't know if Tom, it's difficult because you say we're playing Roberto and that, you know, that transfers throughout the whole team. They think, oh, we got a keeper here, you know, they're going to unload on us. Isn't there a flip side, you know, just even from playing, look, back at school, you think, oh, we've got a really terrible keeper here, we really got to dig in today, we've got to protect him, we've got to be right up for this because he ain't going to give us much at the back. Is that a bit of a cop out to say, oh, this transfers into the whole team? That's not a cop-out for Anderson, why he ain't getting in the balls,
I mean,
doing his job. We can't all put it on Roberto's door.
No, I completely agree. What I meant by that is I feel like there's just a little bit of nervous energy. I don't think it's completely his fault at all. I think he's made some howlers. Every game he's played, he's made one mistake which just cost the goal. And if you start every Premier League game and you're 1-0 down, that's a tough thing to come back from. But I completely agree. Everyone needs to give 10% more. They seem to be giving 10% less since this Fabianski injury. And we've got problems. That's why it's so hard to pinpoint, is because you can't look at it and say our strikers, like Benteke at Palace when they have bad points. You can't say, oh, he's missing sitters week after week after week, or centre-half's making clamours as error. we are just from, to a man, no one, it's not like we've had one bright spark in any of these games, maybe Snodgrass against Sheffield United or something like that. That's about it. And also, you just got to look through our team. And our midfield, we were saying earlier, I think a big, you said the midfield protecting your defence. Mm. Well, the midfield we're playing right now should be the midfield who will protect our defence the best. You've got Snodgrass, Rice and Noble, all three who you bank on your life to give 110% and run for the club. But there we're getting sliced through like butter, and something needs to change. The balance of the team is not right now through the centre of the park and the spine, and that's key. And Roberto's not getting the protection he deserves at all.
Well, something that needs to change. Well, one thing that is changing, West Ham aren't playing this week, international break, so that's a good thing. But what can they work on in international break? And will the manager get the chance? You've waited for it. We're going to be talking about Pellegrini and the vote of confidence that he got today.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with We Are West Ham, James Jones and Tom Edwards. It is now time for the manager debate. Pellegrini in, Pellegrini out. There are growing concerns over where he is leading this team, how he is leading this team. But what do you think? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Let's start with Tom, because James alluded to it earlier. He said 2 weeks ago he was defending him, and a lot of West Ham fans were saying they were worried maybe it was time for him to go. James is maybe, just like the wind, he has changed. That position has changed. Tom, Pellegrini's power play, the big team mentality, we hear it so much. What are your thoughts on the manager?
My thoughts at the minute are just in general, from top to bottom, it's not good enough. And I don't know where that comes from, and I think a lot of the blame lies at his door. And the reason that is, if he hadn't made some of his tactical decisions he's had over the weeks, West Ham was so behind him as a fan base and everything. But the decision he made to play Zabaleta over Fredericks, and Fredericks had done nothing wrong, to drop Ogbonna for Balbuena, who's made mistakes in both the games he's been brought back in for. It just tactically, he's, and drop Yarmolenko, who's made a few things which are to the naked eye. You don't have to know football that well to know that he's tactically got it wrong. I think that's where more of the worry comes from. It's not about the position we're in right now or anything like that. It's just the lack of quality in our performances, a lack of progression from when he took over, considering the money he's had compared to some of the other managers who've been in and out of the door quickly at West Ham recently. I just think we're not good enough, simple as, and the manager needs to be the one to stump up and take that blame and turn it around one way or another from something he does. And he needs to send a message to that group of players that I'm not going to accept this anymore. And I'm not necessarily him out, because it's not because I don't think he's not good enough. I do think he's not good enough right now. It's just there's no point in me thinking that, because I believe the board won't sack him because they're not going to be willing to spend the money. So for me, it's just something needs to change. I know I feel like the club won't change him, so I'm just directing my anger in different spots than to him. But I would like a different manager, yeah, for sure. In the summer, at least, I would like a change of direction, because it's not going anywhere right now.
Well, last time West Ham lost 6, they did make a change. Now they're going through it as well. It's 6 games again. James, it's a tough one. He's had a lot of money to spend. He's spent that money. He's on a big wage himself. You know, we heard about the recruitment. It just feels like everyone was, they liked where West Ham were heading, and now it feels like it's turned very, very quickly. Whether that's rightly or wrongly doesn't mean that maybe it is time for him to go, but it just feels like it has turned super quick.
Yeah, it has turned super quick, and you can forgive a slight dip in form. And, every team has it, unless you're Liverpool at the moment, But then, even then, they're capable of going on 2 or 3 games without winning. So you forgive the odd bad performance here and there. As long as you then, you react and go and win a couple of games or put a couple of good performances in. And at the moment, that's not happening. And, as I said earlier, after beating Man United, we looked at that fixture list and we got really excited. And rightly so, because it was like, hang on, finally this is happening. Finally, we're getting what we were promised. And ever since then, it's all fallen apart. And not just the, we've been unlucky here and there. Maybe one or two games. I mean, Bournemouth, perhaps. Sheffield United, perhaps. But other than that, we fully deserve not winning football matches because we've been terrible. And, to be 3-0 down at home to Newcastle United is, for me, was the last straw. And for Pellegrini to come out after that game and say, I don't know why we played so bad, that's damning for me. Yeah, it's really worrying for a manager of his experience and for everything that he's won in his lifetime to come out and say he doesn't know why his team's played so bad when they've lost 3-2 at home and you're 3-0 down. And a mate of mine said it earlier to me, and it made so much sense. It really hit home to me, really. What's happened is that he'd left Man City in quite controversial circumstances. You know, they announced Pep Guardiola 6 months earlier. And he's gone to China for what, if you look back at it now, was his retirement. It was his retirement. We've rocked up and gone, tell you what, how about you come back for £8 million a year and have another go at the Premier League? So he's come back and he's semi-retired and he's come back in the Premier League at £8 million a year. Of course it's not going to go well. And suddenly it's dawned on me, of course it's not going to go well.
I don't know if I agree. It's so easy to say when it's not going well, though. Because we're talking about West Ham.
But now we're in a situation where, okay, so we don't change it. Mm. We don't change it. And we have faith in him. And, you know, I'd love him to turn it around. I really would. But some of the decisions he's made genuinely makes me think, this isn't gonna end well. Some of the decisions he's made in recent weeks, it's not going to end well. And we've already established the fact that there's no squad depth. And, you know, there are youth players that potentially ain't going to get a chance. And it's all a little bit weird now. Mm. And you don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. And suddenly it does make a little bit of sense and go, well, if he makes it to the end of this season, he's got 1 year left in his contract. If we've got two mediocre seasons behind him, he's got 1 year left in his contract, they're not going to renew after the third year. He knows that. What year are we going to have next year? So you have to look at the bigger picture, and I just don't see a way out of this now. It sounds really dramatic, and it does, but I genuinely don't see where how we can improve on this. We're going to win football matches this season. We're not going to go down, and we'll probably finish mid-table again. But after the start of the season we had and all that promise, and then suddenly it all just fizzle away so quickly, and just like, well, what's the point?
James, it probably feels like we're not clashing or at loggerheads, but can you understand from me, an outside perspective, doing the show every week and listening to you and Will and you saying, you know, the best thing that's happened to West Ham, Pellegrini. Best thing that's happened to West Ham. You know, don't worry about the players we've signed, the money we've spent. It's him, you know, the old recruitment. He's involved in it all. And now we're going, he's semi-retired, £8 million a year. Do you understand how it feels like that? And now,
absolutely,
if we're saying, oh, let's get a new man because we another mediocre season and it's not going well, I don't know if he's the man to spark it. But we're on the international break. Come out of this international break, beat Spurs, we'll have a great show the week after, and then they'll go on a run and it'll be like, love Pellegrini, just beat
so
them.
Fickle,
down. Do you know? No, and listen, I'm fickle. Yeah. All football fans are fickle. Yeah. We were in a sport that's, you know, it's a results based business. I get it, but.
Tom. I know what you mean. I think what everyone seems to forget and just move past so much in the whole football world is West Ham. We were moved out of our spiritual home against the will of the fans. We were, like, on the whole, against the will of the fans to go to a stadium which isn't ours. You still look round, it still isn't ours. We had the best season we had in 20 years or whatever. The last season we did leave. We were leaving there on the back of being a team in Europe, one of the best players in the world at the time. And we didn't capitalise anything. So there's that anger carrying over against the board. We're still in the stadium. You look around, it doesn't feel entirely West Ham. We're just desperate to find a reason why we've had to do that, because a lot of the things which made West Ham great to a lot of people, to us who we support, from going back then have been taken away from us. So it is. You can say fickle, and I completely agree, and it must sound like that because Pellegrini was great 1 minute and now whatever, we've got a question marks around him. But we are just desperate for something to go right. We've had all this heartache leaving the stadium and a lot of bad years since then that... It's come to a time when the hope keeps rising up. We leave there and we found 6,000.
It's come to boiling point almost.
It's come to boiling point because especially the start we had, we weren't playing great, but we were winning games. We got through a few tough fixes, United and City or whatever, picked up points. And then we had this run where, look at this, we're 4 points behind Sheffield United in fifth. If we'd have beaten three of those teams or two of those teams, we'd be fifth outright on our own. And we've had the easiest fixtures out of anyone in the Premier League this season. And that's, I think, why... there's so much frustration is because a lot has happened in the last few years at the football club and zero progress, zero.
But James, do you want to go back to a situation, let's say international break, no Pellegrini, there's another David Moyes, there's another Sam Allardyce, there's another Pardew, there's another... This is Pellegrini we're talking about, a man who has won the Premier League. You don't want to go back to that.
Nah.
You're in this now and, you know, it's a difficult one. Do you want to see then in this international break? I know you're not calling for his head and I'm not putting you on that spot, but... do you want to change or do you want to see? Let's ride this out. This international break. Time to work on things.
See, I'm torn between get rid of him now and then find a replacement. But there's a danger in that. At the moment, there's no one out there.
No one.
Right. Unless you want to go and do the old Moyes thing again, which I don't think anyone wants. No one wants that. Please don't. I'd rather stick with Pellegrini. But so at the moment, we kind of got to stick with him. You've got to. As much as I'd like to see us make a change, I'd rather us not rush into making a change and then make the bad decision like bringing Moyes back or making it like just, you know.
Mourinho, he wants to stay in London.
Mourinho would be, again, like...
Why would he?
Because he desperately wants to stay in London.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not going to rock up at West Ham, is he?
He might if he's getting 10 million a year when Pellegrini's got 8.
I don't know. I can see us riding it out until the summer and then seeing what happens. I mean, you never know. Arsenal might sack Emery and then suddenly David Sullivan might go, he's the guy I wanted a couple of years ago before I got Bilic in. I'll go for him instead. I don't know. I think the right decision is to make a change, but it has to be the right time as well. Mm. At the moment, I don't think it's the right time because there are no better options or credible options out there.
I completely agree on that. A good fiery debate on a West Ham show and no Love games it. To come, but we're still talking all about West Ham and the Spurs game. That will be covered in depth next week. What a big game that is to come back off that international break. Well, it is a huge tradition. It is time for the Rogue Players Quiz next.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with We Are West Ham, James Jones and Tom Edwards. The debate raged on during the break. We're talking everything about the manager, about the team. Luckily, it's that international break. West Ham, they need it. They come back to Spurs. We're all desperately hoping they can beat Spurs. Not only will it make a positive show, always nice to get one over on them. They haven't won away in the league since January. But now, though, we come to a part of the show everyone loves. No one more than me. It's the favourite part. It is time, and that music can only signal it is the West Ham Mystery Players Quiz, the Rogue Players Quiz. Normally, it is Will versus James. They have a prize, and it is a pint at Christmas. James, we're getting very close to that Christmas deadline, my friend.
Yeah, we are, and I let a 4-1 lead slip, but I'm now 6-4
up. Very West Ham.
Very West Ham.
We need to change. Get rid of the manager.
I've won the last 2 weeks, and I'm 6-4 up now. And you know, Will joked last week that you know he's just going to keep pushing the date back for the Christmas drinks until he's winning. So we might be having a few drinks in the summer instead. But I'm confident. I'll win some of my friendly matches.
Yeah, it's a practice, isn't it?
But I lost my last friendly match, to be fair. But yeah, I'm up for it. Well, it's been fun.
Another friendly match tonight, but the scores are 6-4 to James, and we do it the points as well. It's 17-13, obviously, to James, but that is only needed if the games are tied. But James leads 6-4 there. Well, this is a friendly. Tom, good luck. This is the
Happy
Rogue
days.
Players Quiz. 3 players, 5 clues each, and they have to guess. So fingers on the buzzers. This is your Rogue Players Quiz. And also a quick shout out to Reese, who sends this every week. Absolute legend for this. The quiz is fantastic, and I love it. Player number one, clue number one, played 63 games, scoring 18 goals for the club.
Jaffa Sacco.
No.
Wow, that's a good shout, though, to be
straight
fair.
Off the bat as well. Like very
that.
Will-esque,
very
James.
Premature.
Why not?
No, I like it.
Scored 2 hat-tricks for the club.
Oh, hello.
They kit some.
That is correct.
Wow.
Wow, Tom Edwards off to a fly. Maybe a friendly.
I mean, you had no clue that was Kitson
either.
Yeah,
I just remember his Charlton hat-trick, and I just thought,
it might be Kitson.
Tom Edwards.
I'm glad it's a friendly.
That research in the office pan off. Let me tell you. Now we go to player two, clue number one. Played 6 games for the club between 2012 and 2014.
Got to be a goalkeeper, innit?
Something weird.
Clue number two. Spent 3 years at Liverpool, but never made an appearance.
It's not Andy Carroll, is it? He's always injured.
Clue number three. Played 44 times for Cholton.
Lewis Page?
Incorrect. Nah, clue number four. Shirt number 23 and 18.
I was not a goalkeeper then. I might need those clues again.
Your final clue for this second player. French international.
Bernard Lama. No.
Incorrect.
Alou Diarra.
That is correct. Unbelievably, Tom Edwards has taken tonight's Rogue Players quiz. It is 2-0. Tom, you do have a chance Alou for Diarra. A whitewash.
I don't know why I said Bernard Lama.
James, you do have a chance to get a consolation, but James, you've lost tonight. Unbelievably. It's only a friendly.
Just practicing.
He's just testing me. Not very good practice. Yeah, he's
Player number three. Can Tom get the whitewash? Can James regain some pride? Clue number one, began their career at Coventry in 1976. Tom, you should be right in here.
Yeah, this is me.
Clue number two, played four games for West Ham.
Oh, leave it out.
Brilliant stuff.
Oh, that's my dad, isn't it?
Clue number three, won the FA Cup with Manchester United. Clue number four. Came on as a sub against Arsenal in 1995 to play up front.
John C. Seeley.
Half of that is correct.
Dave Seeley.
You've got the Seeley part right.
Why can't I think Seeley?
Right, clue number...
embarrassing.
This is embarrassing.
Brian Seeley.
Just as many names as possible, Tom. Clue number five, it's former Seeley. Goalkeeping coach at the club.
It's Seeley. I got it right.
Yeah, but what's the first name?
Ian Seeley.
I've had a mind blank. It's embarrassing because he's... Oh.
Unbelievable.
Paul.
John Seeley.
You've already said that. Say it again, I'll give you the third time.
I don't know.
I've got it right. I've heard about 500 boys' names, not one right.
It's Seeley.
Michael Seeley.
Shares their first name with the presenter who used to present Family Fortunes. Are you two winding me up? You didn't know Lee Chapman, and now you don't know this one. You don't know...
Les Seeley.
Yeah, Les Seeley. You didn't know presented Family Fortunes? It is Les Seeley.
So what?
Family Fortune is such a rogue.
it's a rogue player's quiz.
Get it in.
I want to apologise to the listeners there because that was a genuine, really embarrassing mind blank there.
Well, we'll give you it. Les Seeley.
I love Les Seeley.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Really that much.
To the point where I forgot his first name.
Yeah. Just one of them.
I feel really embarrassed about that. I can't even take that point.
You have to, mate.
Tom, unbelievable. You have won tonight's Rogue Players quiz 2-1. How did you fare? You didn't win last time, did you, Tom? I can't remember.
I did beat Will in a friendly recently. Yeah, I beat Will in a friendly. It's coming. Mm. It's coming. The practice makes perfect, mate. I've had a few bad days on the mic out here on it.
So let's quickly talk the Rogue Players quiz, James. Couple of rules questions. VAR, let's get involved. After Christmas, we continuing it or starting to scratch? How's it working?
Well, I suppose this is a conversation that I have to have with Will, but I'm quite happy to continue it.
I think it needs to be.
I mean, everyone raves about it. Everyone loves it.
I love it.
If anything, we get more tweets about the quiz.
And you're not getting them.
Me not getting them, than we do about actual proper footballing matters. So, I mean, everyone seems to like it. We'll keep it going.
Mm. I'll be honest, my week goes downhill as soon as this ends.
I just can't
to the next Tuesday quiz. Well,
you're all invited to the beers when Will buys the round at the end of the season at Christmas.
It's gone up.
He's probably listening as well. Will, if you are listening,
so what is the price? Will buys you a pint, James, or I think everyone of the We Are West Ham team a pint.
Well, he's definitely got to buy me one, but no, I think Will should probably buy everyone.
Yeah,
one.
I think so.
Yeah.
Rumour has it it's the team.
Definitely.
It's the full squad.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, squad depth.
If you're not good enough to win the quiz over like what 4 or 5 month period, then you've got to buy everyone a pint.
Yeah. If you can't turn up tonight, you can't, you know.
Yeah, he's away with the missus, isn't he? Yeah.
Happy birthday tomorrow.
Yeah, happy birthday to Will tomorrow. Obviously, a big fixture of the We Are West Ham Will Pugh, their birthday boy tomorrow. Well, there isn't no football on the weekend for West Ham, thankfully. Let's quickly talk about that international break. Last time out, Pellegrini said, we worked on our tackling, we worked on our defensive transitions. There were things to work on our positional sense. James, we ain't got too much, but what does he need to work on? Not too much time.
Football.
I'll set you up for that one. I shouldn't have said it.
Tactics.
Everything.
Yeah, everything. We just need to just start again.
Put some sellotape on the goalie's gloves.
How bad does a defeat feel, Tom, before that international break? Because it's one we have to talk about it over and over. It lingers like a bad taste in the mouth. We can't get rid of it. It's going to be fresh in our minds. We have to keep talking about this Burnley game for the next week as well, because there's been no football.
For sure. I think when you go, it's the cumulative lack of bad results. It's seven on the trot, which means they're going into this. You're just having to wait 2 weeks either for something to change or something fresh to moan about. At least if we lost again next week, it's a new fixture to moan about. Something else has happened. But you just sit on this for 2 weeks and it's incredibly frustrating. As long as our players come back fit from the international break and they don't have an extra excuse as why they're underperforming, then I'm happy. As long as you get this week out the way, get to Saturday with a fully fit squad other than Lanzini, the players already missing, and then we go from there. And to be honest with you, it's just getting this week out the way with a fully fit team.
And we didn't actually touch on that, but Lanzini, shoulder injury, do we know how long he's out for, James?
Well, I mean, apparently it's until the new year. You know, we were saying earlier that, you know, normally that would be a big loss, but he's not really performed. He's not been in the squad or he's not been starting, so I don't see it as like a massive loss. He's a brilliant player, creative player, should be in the starting lineup every week in my book. But because he's not been playing, it's not really a great loss to us. No. The last thing I remember him doing of note was winning a penalty in the first minute at Watford back in August or September, early September.
Yeah, early in the season.
So like, he's not really done a great deal for us to really go, cool, you know, we've lost a player there. But something's got to change. Antonio's going to be back hopefully after the international break. I think that's going to be a big difference. Someone to come off the bench and change a game, which we haven't had all season since he's been injured. But he wants to start
100%. Yeah,
throw him
yeah.
straight in. I know you don't want to rush him
straight in for Spurs.
Don't want to rush him back, but he loves to go against Spurs.
He loves
doesn't
to go against Spurs. He's something different. I mean, he's not going to slow the ball down. He'll get at people and he'll get in their faces. And he's a big physical presence who will get close to the header in the
run
box.
Run at wing backs as well.
Exactly. There's two big presences to the box then, and get some balls in the box from wide, from the Anderson. Let's hope we score some goals, because we've been lacking it massively.
Hope we score some goals, hope we get some points. West Ham Spurs, we'll be previewing that game next week on the West Ham Fan Show, as it is every Tuesday 7 to 8 with We Are West Ham, the only place to catch all your Hammers news right here on Love Sport Radio. It is your team, your voice.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.